Excited to be with you and excited to get in the Word with you and to build ourselves up in the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Romans chapter 13. As we started looking last week at understanding authority, we're going to finish this week looking at understanding authority. Let's start back in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and read that together before we pray and ask God to really bring His Word alive to us. So notice it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Well, do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." Let's pray. Lord, as we look at authority, we know that it's something you've ordained and it's something that you've put in place. And God, my heart is that we would truly understand authority, because that is the key to walking in blessing. Lord, seeing your hand, not just in the authorities within the Christian realm, maybe our home and our church, but seeing that even the authorities in the governmental realm outside of the church, you have ordained and established. And if we learn, Lord, to walk in obedience and submission to them, in a godly way with fear in our heart before you, God, you will bless our lives. And so I pray you would continue to give us a deeper understanding of authority. And God, you would just teach us as we look at these verses today about what it means to be those who come under authority, knowing that you, Lord, are the one controlling it. So we thank you. And I pray now you would just open your word to us. I pray you would teach us by your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you know, last week we started looking at the role of authority and in the world and our proper response to it as Christians. And this week, Paul's going to finish his exhortation on authority and further instruct us on what our authorities do and why they're there. The bottom line is this is such an important issue to understand. I am convinced now, having been someone who lived outside of God's will, that is being unsaved and dealing with authorities, and then living inside of God's will, now saved and following, coming under those authorities, I am convinced that this is one of the biggest issues in having a peaceful life and a life that is directed by the Lord, and it's a life that is settled by the Lord and constructive. And I might add to that, a blessed life of the Lord. And why do I say that? Because God has ordained the authorities to interact with His creation in such a way that He funnels blessing through the authorities if we understand them and come under them, but He brings cursing and judgment when we don't. And so you can see why, as believers, this is an extremely important issue for us to understand. Understanding the authority structure in the world as well as our personal authorities, I think, is so essential for success in a blessed life. And those who never understand or grasp this move from one problem to the next. Now, I know we all have difficulties in different situations, but if you're one of those people that goes from job to job to job, and it's always your boss, and you go from church to church to church, and it's always the pastor, and you go from whatever situation to situation to situation, and it's always someone else's fault, ticket to ticket to ticket, and it's the police's fault because they're not catching the real criminals, there's an issue with authority in your life. And it's better to face it and say, "God, what's going on? I want to understand this, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to struggle your entire life and have stress upon you and people coming down upon you in difficult situations rather than being able to walk in the fullness that God has for you." Again, an understanding of this will set you free. A lack of understanding of how God uses this will keep you in a constant state of unsettledness. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes our authorities are not wrong or even wicked. You may actually have a boss who's really messed up, or a pastor who's way out there, or maybe a policeman who's on some power trip. I know that all of these things are real. I'm not pretending that all of these authorities are always right and that all of these authorities are always perfect, etc. We know better than that. But what God is asking us to do as believers is to simply come under the system that He has put in place, the positions that He's put in place, and let Him work out the details with each of those authorities. If the authority's wrong, God is more than able to deal with them in this life and or for sure the next. He simply asks us to come under those authorities so that we can live a peaceful life, but also so that we can be a witness to the world around us. Listen, when we see everyone else rebelling against the police or rebelling against this or rebelling against that, and we're supporting them, maybe not things that we think are wrong, but we're standing with the authorities that are in place, that's a testimony to the world around us. And it's a witness to the world around us. And then we need to understand why, based on the scripture, that we do that. You know, why are you not marching with us? Well, have you read Romans 13? That's why. And so we're a testimony to the world. We turn the eyes back toward the Lord and we let God work out the details. And again, I'm saying that if we simply learn to trust the Lord with our authorities, even the unsaved ones, and this is huge, even the unsaved ones, we're going to have a blessed life. Now, I learned this because of my prior troubles with the legal system and what God used to bring me to the Lord. Now, many of you know my testimony, but I got in trouble with the legal system, if you will, before I came to the Lord. And I remember getting saved a year before I had to go stand before the judge. And I was walking with the Lord a full year, knowing the Lord, enjoying the Lord. I had a new family in the Lord. I had a church I was going to there in Nashville. And I was facing a DUI thing that was coming up, you know, sometime down the road. I had all these consequences that came with it. Now, understand in that day, and still today, it's pretty much the same as far as what I understand. And that is, it's mandatory loss of your license for a year, anywhere between $500 and $1,500 in fines, your legal fees to a lawyer if you choose to get one, and since you don't know the system, that's usually a wise thing to do, and possibly up to a year in jail. And the judge, it's up to the judge who you are, what he thinks about you, what you're doing, where he goes between that distance there. Well, God knew my situation. God knew that I'd repented. God knew that my church was a long way away, and I'm thinking, if I lose my license, how do I drive to church? Certainly, if I spend a lot of time in jail, a full year or whatever, which I didn't think I would spend, I could use that as a testimony. God would use it. But, you know, all these things go through your mind. And what about the legal fees? And what about a lawyer? And how's this all going to work? And I remember God put in my heart, and really through other wise counselors, but God speaking in my heart saying, Mark, I control even the authorities in your life. The unsaved and the saved, I am over them. I control them. And if you will simply come under them and trust me, yes, there will be consequences. By the way, when we're forgiven, are all the consequences gone? I wish. No, we're forgiven. And God lessens the consequences oftentimes because he's good. But the bottom line is we still have consequences. And I realized this could be a huge event in my life, which it was a big event anyway, but could have been even a larger event. But then again, Proverbs 21:1 says this, and note this, guys. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. In other words, God controls the hearts and the minds of the authorities in your life if you will simply trust him to do it, and if you go to him and ask him to move in their hearts. God says, I'll do that. By the way, if you have an authority that's treating you unfairly, go over their head. You don't have to rebel. Go in prayer to God and say, God, this authority is doing this wrong and they're abusing me in this. I need you to intervene. I've seen God do it time and time again. I remember as a baby Christian, and I'll get back to the court thing, but as a baby Christian, rabbit trails, right? No, I've got a reason for both of these. As a baby Christian, I got all these jobs where I couldn't get off on Sundays. I'm sorry, you can't have off on Sundays. I refuse to accept that. My God runs the universe. So I went to my God on my knees and I said, more than one time, I did this in more than one job where they told me I could not have off on Sunday. We don't allow that. I went to God and I said, God, I'm coming under this authority, but I know you want me in church. You're God. You saved me. You brought me out of the world. You move in their hearts. I'm telling you, in each of those jobs, those bosses came to me and said, you know what I've been thinking about? I've changed my mind. You can have off on Sundays. And without me bothering them, without me complaining, without me rebelling, I simply went over their head to God and I said, I know you want me there. God, work it out. And he did. And he began to teach me through that process. Mark, I will work through your authorities if you will trust me. Well, now my court trial is coming up. And I'm thinking, look, lose my license for a year. I can't even drive to church. All this money, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have $1,500. You know, spending time in jail, I didn't think I spent that much. But even if I spent some, I don't really want to be there necessarily. And all these things going through my mind. And God said, now remember what I've taught you about authorities. Remember what I've shown you, even in this short first year of your Christian life, how I've used your authorities to direct your life. Are you going to trust me in this one? I remember God challenged me. Yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I remember walking in that courtroom and feeling like, you know what? This judge is not in control of this. And it wasn't a prideful attitude. It wasn't like, you're not in control of this. My God's in control. It wasn't something, you know, like that. I'll throw the book and be dodging the book, right? You know? But it was a confidence in, you know what? My God controls your heart. My God controls your mind. My God controls everything that you're, what you're going to do with me today, God has ordained. Do you see what peace I walked in that courtroom with? I didn't have some false illusion that there would be no consequences. I deserved hell. For me, anything less than that was praising words, right? And I knew I wasn't going to get hell because Jesus saved me. But I was waiting to find out what the Lord was going to do. And I remember he said, how do you plead? And I was guilty. I'm guilty. I wasn't going to pretend anything. This is it. God, I'm trusting in you. And I remember the judge just looking at me, and I don't remember how long it was. You know, sometimes you can over-dramatize things, and I don't want to do that, and I want to make sure I'm being truthful with you. But I remember when he just looked at me, he said, all right, we're going to do 12 days in jail, $800 fine, something like that. I think that's what it was. And I'm waiting on the whole thing. Your license gone for, I'm hoping maybe it'll be less than a year. Maybe somehow, I know that's mandatory in the state, but maybe he'll say 6 months. You know, I don't remember what I was thinking. I probably wasn't even thinking that. I was just kind of waiting for everything to come down. And he didn't even mention the license. And I remember walking out of the back of the courtroom and going, God, you are so good. Now, I know you'll help me come up with the $800. I know that I can do these, you know, whatever. And they let me do weekends when I went to, you know, to do my community service and go to the jail for the weekend or whatever and all that. And at the same time, I was like, God, thank you that I got to keep my license because now I get to drive to church. And literally just, he never even addressed that mandated law, at least it was at that time in the state of Tennessee. This was many years ago. And guys, I realized through that experience, my God controls everything, even authorities that are saved, unsaved, authorities that know me, authorities that don't know me. He's in control of all things. And if I will simply come under them and I will trust in him to work through them, then God will work out the details. That's exactly what God did in my situation. And that's exactly what God will do in your situation as well. And some of you may be facing a tough situation with authorities right now. Maybe you're a child and you feel that mom and dad are unfair. You need to realize God, before the earth began, chose this mom and dad for you. He knew that's who you would need. He could have put you in any home in the world. He picked that one. He put you in it. And now what he's saying to you is, trust me to work through them, but they're unfair. Then you talk to me about it. You talk to me about it and you do what they tell you to do. Just simply submit to that authority, obey them. And if they're unfair, I'll deal with them. And even an unbeliever, it's not that the unbeliever is going to come in and go, I love Jesus now, and I'm going to treat you and buy you ice creams every day. That's not going to happen. But God will work the situation out in such a way that it will not only be bearable, but be blessed. Maybe you're in a work situation. My boss is horrible. This is ungodly, and he's wicked, or whatever. Go to the Lord about it. Trust that God, for this season, there's no way I could get another job. Well, then God wants you in that job for this season. Trust him in it. Let him work through the authorities to be a blessing in your life. Whatever, go down the line. God is going to use it in some form and fashion. You know, it's interesting. When I look at it, I think, well, why did I have to go and, you know, why did I have to do these weekends or whatever, you know, jail time? You know, God knew my heart. And how come the judge just didn't drop that? Listen, while we were in jail, I say we because I met other guys who knew the Lord that were in there. But while I was in there, there's those little short days or whatever that time. God gave me opportunity to share my faith. He gave me opportunity to share the gospel. We saw at least, you know, one guy give his life to the Lord, maybe more. I can't remember. But God used that. And God, you know, it's almost like, look, I'm allowing this consequence, not because I'm punishing you, you're forgiven, but I'm going to allow this consequence because I want to reach that guy and you'll talk to him about Jesus. So I'm going to let you do that. So he used the opportunity through my authorities to do that. I got scheduled to go to these, you know, AA classes or whatever. And I wasn't having any issues. God set me free. And yet they say, well, you've got to go and have these classes because when you have that problem forever. Guys, how sad it would be to think as a believer there's no hope to be set free from some type of physical or emotional or psychological bondage. How miserable, what kind of hope is that? To think that if I go to this class and just go day by day and try my hardest that maybe I can make it somehow. How much better to say trust in Jesus and be set free and move on being a witness for the gospel? And that's what Jesus did for me. And I remember sitting around that table with those guys, and they all have to stand up, and you got to listen to each other, right? Hi, I'm Joe, and, you know, I'm an alcoholic, and blah, blah. I mean, I couldn't wait till it got to me, because they've got to listen to me. And I stood up, and I said, my name's Mark, and I used to be an alcoholic, but Jesus Christ set me free, and I'm no longer an alcoholic, and he'll set everyone in this room free if they put their trust in him. Could have heard a pin drop. And I don't remember what I shared after that. I don't remember. I mean, they start going to this higher power stuff. I said, look, my washing machine's a higher power. I can't do this for an hour with clothes. Right? It wears me out. But I'm not going to look to my washing machine to set me free. I'm going to look to the God who created the universe, and he did set me free. And he'll set, guys, any one of you in this room free as well if you believe him. If you trust him and believe him and you completely give everything over to him, you don't have to keep some label on your life the rest of your life. Jesus said this, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But it takes a step of faith and we've got to believe him. And so authorities, there's such a blessing even in that. God used even the consequences God used in my life to be able to share the gospel with others. He's letting me use it today. If I hadn't had to go to those meetings, I couldn't be sharing that with you right now. If I hadn't spent that time, those 12 days, I couldn't share with you about that. All these things God allowed, he uses them, and we're to use them as a testimony for his greatness and for his power. But it all comes down to understanding authority, understanding it, realizing you put it in place, don't fight it, go with the flow, come under it, be obedient to it, and trusting God to work out the details. And he brings it to blessing every time. Well, let's jump into it. Paul, in the middle of this, talking about coming under God's authorities and then being God's ministers, says in verse 5, therefore, you must be subject, that is, to these authorities, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Now, Paul hits on a couple of big things here. Again, first of all, he says it behooves us to come under these authorities because of the fact that they control wrath oftentimes in our life, but not just to avoid wrath. Notice he says we also need to do this for conscience' sake. And that is, we as Christians have got to have a clear conscience if we're going to be able to minister like the way God wants us to minister. You know, one of the things that happens to me as far as having to get up here each week, as long as I stay with the Lord, I know it'll be this way. And so far, so good. God willing, there would never be a change in that. But if there's some issue going on in my heart, I've got to get it right before I can get up and really minister. You know, times over the years where maybe there's been an argument Tracy and I have had or something or whatever, and I can't even get up and teach until I contact her and say, look, will you please forgive me? Maybe I'm not even ready to ask yet. You know that feeling? I'm not quite yet ready to ask forgiveness. That's just stubbornness. We know how we are, right? Maybe you never dealt with that, right? I don't have any choice. I go up in the pulpit in 5 minutes. I either do it now or I go up in the pulpit with an unclear conscience and trusting God to use me somehow. So she can testify. Times before Sunday morning, call up, honey, I got to ask your forgiveness. Please forgive me of that. And I think this is healthy because it drives us when we're in a place of ministry to do that, but it just accentuates a principle here, and that is this. If you're going to really be able to use to minister to other people's lives, you have got to have a clear conscience in order to do it. You know, how can I go to you and confront some issue when I myself am involved in it? And Paul dealt with this with Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 through 19. Listen to what he told Timothy. He said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Notice two things. First of all, it's to wage warfare. I want you to wage warfare, Timothy, but if you're going to wage warfare, you've got to have a good conscience. He says, which some have rejected. And look at the result of that. They've rejected concerning the faith and suffered shipwreck. What he's saying is, if we don't keep faith and a clear conscience, it will lead to spiritual shipwreck. And then we're not going to be able to be used in a great way for the Lord. It's interesting as we look at the God-given authorities that God has given us and even what's going on in our nation right now. Jumping on the bandwagon to maybe attack certain officials for whatever. Listen, I'm not saying we don't speak up for what's right. We've got to speak what's right. And we need to confront sin. When there's sin and our authorities are involved in sin, it doesn't mean we don't speak out against it. John the Baptist said, you know what, Herod, you're in sin. You're in adultery. You need to repent. And yet there was a consequence for that. But at the same time, we need to speak up. So I'm not saying that we don't speak up. I'm simply saying that we make sure that we do it the right way. We submit to them, we trust the Lord, and we let God do the work that he's going to do. You know, the church has been under lots of situations throughout history where we have been treated wrongfully by our authorities. But God never mandated that we take to marches in the streets to fight against our authorities because of it. Guys, Nero was the emperor of Rome and the world at the time that Paul wrote this letter. Now, if you know much about Roman history and know much about Nero, Nero was a madman, many believe. He not only hated Christians, he specifically focused in on Christians to hate them and mistreat them and abuse them. And yet God didn't say take to the streets and march, and we don't see that the Christians did that. They took to their knees and they prayed, and we're called to do the same thing today, to go to our knees, to pray, to come under these authorities, and to let God work out the details in the midst of it. He says, so you need to do this so that wrath doesn't come upon you, although we know that it still can in some instances, but it certainly is lessened by us doing the right thing, but also for conscience sake, so that we know we're right before God and we know we're right before man. Verse 6, notice, for because of this, you also pay taxes. Now, some of you are backsliding right now. You're just, we're not going to do that. I'm just kidding. Because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Wow. What a verse. Notice Paul says here, because of wrath and conscience, we're also to pay our taxes. Why? Because that's what the authorities ask us to do, and it's the right thing to do. Now, I don't like paying taxes any more than any of you guys like paying taxes, but it's through taxes that God has set up that our society can function properly. It's so we can have roads, and we can have authorities and police to protect us when there's emergencies. All these things. I know taxes are abused. I understand that. But at the same time, God says you need to pay the taxes because it's what makes a society function. God has built that into the system so that the system will function. It's the same thing with a tithe in a church. God has built it in so the church can function, so the lights can be on, so the floors can be clean, so the staff can be paid. Listen, God has a purpose in every structure he puts in place. There's a reason for it. And the taxes are so that our society, so that Knoxville can function properly. Again, we know that oftentimes these are abused. But the bottom line is we still need to do it so that we have a clear conscience, knowing what is right, and also we have a good testimony. You know, what a horrible testimony for a believer not to pay their taxes. And then especially to get caught not paying their taxes. Now, this was a huge issue in this day. Understand, to the Jews, paying taxes to Rome was a huge issue. Why was that? Because they believed that they owed tribute to no one but God. So for Rome to come in and say, you've got to pay us these taxes, and then Rome was especially egregious about it because the guys they would hire to be the tax collectors could take as much as they wanted from you for their salary. Can you imagine? You may not like what the IRS takes, but imagine if the IRS, if their job was to not only get the taxes that are now stated by our government, but on top of it, they could take a little bit more from you just for themselves. How would you feel about that? It's already hard enough with just what you're doing, right? That's what was going on with Rome. The Jews hated paying the Romans taxes. They thought it was only to God they should give anything. That's why they came to Jesus and they tested him. They were trying to pit Jesus against the Jews and trying to pit him against Rome at the same time by saying, hey, who should we pay taxes or not? And it was a trick question because if he said, yes, pay your taxes, he knew the Jewish people would hate him because they hated paying taxes to the Romans. And then if he said, don't pay your taxes, then Rome would come chasing after you, right? Then you'd be in trouble with the legal authorities. But he answers with this great answer that we all know. He says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. That is, you know what? Pay your tithe. That's God's. Really, it's all God's, but that's just basically acknowledging that. And to Caesar, pay your taxes. Because even the Roman government and officials, you're to give to them what their due is as well. The Jews struggle with this one, and again, some people even struggle with this one today, but the bottom line is that we're supposed to do that. Now, this brings up a question. What about when the government is using our funds inappropriately? Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Some of your tax money goes towards abortions. Our government uses it to fund abortions, even worldwide. So as a Christian, the temptation is to say, well, wait a minute. I can't be a part of this. I will not pay my taxes. I won't pay anything because you're killing babies with it, and I won't be a part of that. And I understand that on moral grounds. I agree with you. It is wrong. It is hideous. Just the killing of these babies is wrong, much less taking our money beyond our will and using it for that. I understand that. I have a problem with that as well. That's wrong. But God says, look, you let me sort all that out in my judgment. You do what I've asked you to do. God is not going to hold you accountable when you pay your taxes for what the government does with it. And might I add, aren't you thankful? God doesn't hold you accountable. You're not guilty before God by paying your taxes. You're not funding abortion. You're not paying for things you don't agree with or that go against the word of God. You're simply doing what God has asked you to do. You're giving taxes to whom taxes are due. And then what they do with it, listen, one day they will stand before God and they will give an account. And that's going to be, as the Bible says, a terrible day, an awesome day, an amazing day. You let God sort out the details. And God says, I will do that in the right time. He just simply holds us accountable to pay them. And notice, just like the other authorities, Paul declares here that the tax collectors are ministers or servants of God as well. You know, even last week we talked about it's hard to look at a policeman and think of him as a minister of God, but it's even harder, I think, to look at the IRS and think of them as a minister of God. And yet that's what the Bible says they are. Now, not ministers in the sense of, you know, somebody behind a pulpit or somebody doing ministry. But it's interesting, the word that Paul used here, that the Holy Spirit used through Paul about the police being ministers is the word diakonia, where we get the word deacon. And now the word that he uses about these other government officials that are collecting taxes and customs and all this, it's the word liturgos, like liturgy, liturgos. It speaks of a public servant or a public official. And so he's making the point, even these public officials that are out there, God has ordained the position that they're to be in, and we're to come under that God-ordained position, whether we agree with everything they do or not. And notice he says they attend to this issue about taxes continually, and boy, do they ever. They definitely can pay attention to it on a regular basis. Did you know the government, they know people's guilty conscience? And they actually have a service department, an agency they have set up so you can send in overdue or unpaid taxes anonymously. Say you feel guilty. I realize I cheated those 10 years. I didn't really declare as much. I was kind of putting, on a waiting table so I got cash. I didn't really tell how much I got. So I'm feeling guilty. I need to do that. I'm a Christian now, whatever the case might be. They actually have a department you can send money to because they know there's guilty consciences out there and they know they'll get more tax money. And true story, I heard about one letter they received. A guy sent some money to the anonymous thing, and he goes, I'm sending you this money anonymously. I'm feeling wrong. I'm bad in my conscience about my taxes, and also I want to send this in to you. And he said, if I still can't sleep after this, I'll send you the rest. Isn't that just like us? So we need to pay our taxes and realize that we're paying God when we do it because God's asked us to do it. And then he says, lastly, verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear or respect to whom fear and respect belong, is what it means, and honor to whom honor. Maybe the position someone is in, whether you like them or not, you honor that position. So Paul really sums up everything he's been saying here in these first 7 verses about authority in this one verse by basically saying, render therefore to all their due. If we do that, everything else will fall into place. Taxes, customs, fear or respect to the police or whoever else, honor to whom honor, and then we handle it the right way. If you come back from a trip overseas and you've bought something and you know you're supposed to pay taxes coming back in the States, don't deny it. Don't try to hide what you bought over there and not pay your taxes coming back. Before God, do the right thing and declare it. Or if you're trying to bring something across the border, make sure that you tell them you're bringing something across the border. Not like Kai Shu of Windsor, Ontario, who when crossing from Canada into the United States hid something that, became very obvious to the border officials. Listen to this article that I have for you guys, quite humorous. Kai Shu was not happy to see the border guard. Yes, those were turtles in his pants. 51 of them, mostly taped to his legs. The scene is described in a criminal complaint that was filed in U.S. federal court on Tuesday, alleging that Shu, a Windsor resident, tried to sneak the amphibious reptiles across the Detroit-Windsor border in August. His bulging sweatpants gave him away, and he is charged with smuggling, trading in protected species, and illegally exporting fish and wildlife. His bond hearing in a Detroit court is scheduled for Friday, and he faces up to 10 years in federal prison if convicted. I don't think that's worth 1,000 turtles, do you? Shu's cargo included a range of North American species, eastern box turtles, red ears, sliders, diamondback terrapins, and others, and he was likely hoping to sell them because they bring a great price on the black market. Now, guys, if there's anything that I want you to grasp out of today's message above everything is this. Don't try to sneak turtles in your pants across the border. I'm just kidding. That's not the main point. But if there's anything that I'm trying to get across to you guys today that I think we need to understand as believers, trust God and the authorities that he's put in your life. Trust him. And if you feel something's being done wrong, then you go over their head and you cry out to God and you say, God, I want you to change their heart. And you claim that Proverbs 21:1. You claim it where it says that God holds the heart even of kings. Listen, if God holds the hearts of kings in his hands or national rulers, then God can hold the heart of your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife or your boss or anybody else. You just cry out to God and say, God, I ask that you would move in their heart and that you do it. And listen, if it's the right thing, God will move in their heart and it will happen. If it's the wrong thing, God won't let it happen. And this is where the real test comes in. You've got to trust God. God, I think my boss isn't paying me enough, and I'm coming like the pastor said. I'm coming over his head. They won't give me any more, and I'm working hard, and I'm doing all these extra hours, and you don't get a raise. Does that mean God didn't hear you and God didn't care? No, it just means for whatever God's purpose is right now, you need to be content. I think of the Roman soldiers. Remember, they came to John the Baptist and they said, you know, what must we do to be right with God? He said, be content with your wages. You know? So the bottom line is, make sure that you're simply trusting God and you're trusting the authorities that God puts in your life. And I'm telling you, if you're a person that's been struggling with authority your whole life, whether it's your parents, then on to the police, then on to government officials, whatever it's been, it's time to let that go and say, God, from now on, I'm going to trust that you're going to work through all of them. I'm just going to fall in line. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do because it's not for them so much I'm doing it, Lord, although it is, but it's for you, Lord. And so I want to learn to have the blessing of coming under my authorities and watching you work in my life through those authorities. Guys, it is a freeing thing, and God will do great work in your life, great works in your life of blessing if you'll simply trust him through the authorities that he puts in your life. Let's pray and ask him to do it. Father, we want to understand authority. We thank you that you've given us these authorities. We clearly see, God, that these authorities are from you. And sometimes it's hard to see when we have an authority that might be difficult, hard maybe to deal with. Sometimes it's hard to understand, God, when we see authorities that are in position, that are doing things that are evil, wicked things against your word. And God, although we don't agree with those acts and those actions, even as you don't, Lord, we want to be those who come under the positions that you've put in place, and that we give fear to whom fear is due and honor to whom honor is due, and trust that you will work in their hearts, moving them to the left or the right like a water course for our good, even when it might mean consequences upon us. So God, help us to trust you. Help us to trust your authority. Help us to trust, God, that you will use the authorities in our life. And help us to be, not only to have a clear conscience, but to be, Lord, the best citizens that America can have. Not just for witness sake, although it will be that. And not just for conscience sake, because I know it will do that. But for your name's sake, that we might be a witness to the great name of our God, Jesus Christ, the ruler of the universe, who alone sits exalted on the throne above all, and it is to you we bow, and it is to you we give homage and fear to, and it is to you, Lord, that we do this because we love you, and we thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.